It is at this time of the year that Sanha has a number of outreach programs, and part of the outreach programs that they do host, they also come to the radio station and host a program on Qurbani. They had some programs in various masajid throughout last week and the week before that. Joining me in the studio this evening, Haji Mahmoud Mohammed Boulay, Sanha Chief Inspector, National Muslim Prison Board, the Halal Coordinator and member of Jamiatul Ulama South Africa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, good to have you on the platform.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and to the listeners.
How are you this evening?
Alhamdulillah. Allah's pleasure.
Yes, we usually get to chat to you Qurbani time. We refresh our knowledge with regards to various aspects of Qurbani. A really important topic, undoubtedly. Perhaps before we get into the masail itself, any thoughts that you have as introductory remarks on the topic?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmudu nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem, amma ba'd. First of all, I'd like to commend yourself, Mawlana Suhaib, and Mawlana Daya for yesterday's program. Alhamdulillah, I heard the two-hour program. It was very beneficial. Alhamdulillah, if people only concentrated and listened, they would have benefited greatly. In my years that I've had this experience, alhamdulillah, I think at Darul Uloom, this is our, Zakaria, it's our 28th year now of Qurbani, alhamdulillah. And in fact, in the meat industry, I started when I was still schooling. My brother used to tell me, come help in a butcher there, Friday afternoons and Saturday mornings, 1965.
Wow.
1965, 66. And at that time, if I can tell the youngsters who were listening on the phone, for Friday afternoons and Saturday mornings, we used to get five rand pay. We used to get wages for five rand.
And it's like 500 rand today.
And that used to, and that used to last the whole week. So, alhamdulillah. And at that time, 1965, 66, the meat prices were, I think, 70 or 80 cents a kilo at that time. Then later, when I started the Sadijib Abattoir for the Jamiat, that was 1977, then the meat was 1 rand 30 a kilo at that time.
Things have really changed over the years.
Export beef, 1982, boxed beef, export quality, was 2 rand 63 a kilo.
SubhanAllah, that's how inflation has really...
Now it's not 1 rand 30, it's 130 rand a kilo now. Allahu Akbar.
That's how things have changed. Now, let us begin at the point of focusing on upon whom is Qurbani wajib.
I think you both did mention this yesterday in your program, and alhamdulillah, many ulama will be mentioning this. If I can just touch on it and continue with the other practicalities of Qurbani. If a mature male or mature female has an amount of nisab on the day of Eid in cash or kind, Qurbani becomes wajib on that person.
Okay, now, what are the species of animals that are permissible for Qurbani?
Of course, the Holy Quran speaks about these species, alhamdulillah, in very clear terms. The one is the cattle, of course. إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَعْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Then Allah Ta'ala has commanded you to slaughter the cow. Now, I want you to notice the word slaughter here and other terms that I'm going to use as we carry on. إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَعْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Then Allah Ta'ala has commanded you to slaughter the cow. Okay, now cows and buffaloes, of course cattle on the whole, they are permitted for Qurbani. And sheep, the Holy Quran speaks about, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. We have compensated him with a great sacrifice. That is, of course, Ibrahim al-Islam, where he is supposed to sacrifice his son, and this was substituted with a ram. So rams and sheep and goats come in the ambit of this ayat. Okay. Then, of course, the Quran speaks about the camel. In the Holy Quran, they speak about فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. I think you mentioned this also yesterday in your program. I just want to touch up and just polish it a little bit, if you don't mind. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. Then read namaz to your Rabb, وَنْحَرْ, and make nahar. You don't slaughter camel. Camels are not slaughtered. You make nahar of camels, where you pierce the throat of the camel. I think it's in Hidayah, if I'm not mistaken, when I studied. They give you the reason for that. All animals, including human beings, their food pipe and wind pipe, of course, are here in the middle, and the blood vessels are further apart. Further apart. Right? So that's why the Quran, in the case of the cattle, are saying, the Quran is saying, أَنْ تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَ. Slaughter the cow. make zaba of the cow. But in the case of the camel, Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرَ, make nahar of the camel. The reason for piercing the throat of the camel and not slaughtering the camel is because the blood vessels are much closer to the food pipe and windpipe here in the middle, thus not necessitating slaughter. By just piercing the throat and you get all four vessels.
Oh.
That's the reason why we don't slaughter camels, we make nahar of camels. And specifically Quran is speaking about making nahar of camels. For this reason, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Then, as you move on, how many shares to an animal?
Right, before we go there, Mufti, with respect to you, the species of cattle, for example, in South Africa, you get the Brahman bulls, those big, they're intimidating. When they look at you like that, you already finished. Like Darul Uloom also, when we slaughter those bulls, alhamdulillah, now we're used to it, but if a person comes new in the kraals there, he's finished when that Brahman bull looks at him like that. You know? So there are Brahman bulls, there are Afrikaner bulls, Jersey bulls, and so on. Those are the common names here in South Africa that we use, slaughtered in abattoirs and for kurbani. In a line of sheep, there are the Dorper, the most famous Dorper. The Dorper are those black-haired sheep. They've got black heads and they have grey bodies. That's the Dorper sheep. They are beautiful stuff, very, very good to eat. That is very tender meat. Okay. Then you get the Merino that we know about. The Merino is the most common one, with a lot of wool. Now there, if you're going to slaughter a Merino, you should first part the hair over the throat and then slaughter. Otherwise, that hair comes in a way and it becomes somewhat difficult to slaughter. So the Merinos are also there. Then you get a Karakul. In the abattoirs, we used to have the Siddhidip. The Karakul, they let a very, like this woman who make up the hair, you know, and the hair becomes like frizzy, like, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know what a Karakul uses. But the Karakuls, they've got frizzy hair. They're also a species of sheep. And then you get the sheep that our Indians normally don't like. They say, bought charibicha, you know, too much fat. The buttock, the back of the sheep, are very fat. They fatty sheep at the back. Those are called Percys. Those sheep are called? They're the Percy species, yeah. So those are some of the species in cattle and sheep. Of course, the camels, because it's so uncommon in South Africa, I wouldn't really be able to tell you about the different types of camels, they all look the same to us.
And now, elaborating on the cattle as well as the sheep and the various shares that these animals are divided into.
We should do the age and the shares together, I think. Is that right? Okay. As far as the ages are concerned, we should ask the farmer, are these cattle 2 years and more? They should be, for Kurbani, they should be 2 years and more. Like, for example, Karen Belfort. They use this young cattle, they 1 year and more. You can't use those for Kurbani. But the cattle that are used, permitted to use, are 2 years and more. So we should ask the farmer, how old is this camel? You don't go and open the mouth there. I think you'll get one boot. You won't know. You won't be present for the Kurbani, I think. So we should ask the farmer, are these 2 years and older? Okay. As far as the sheep are concerned, of course the Kitab speak about they should be 1 year old and more, or if they appear to be 1 year old, if they are not 6 months, 6 months and more. If they are 6 months and more, you ask the farmer, or 8 months or 10 months, and among the 1 year old sheep, they appear to be 1 year old. Those can be used for Kurbani. Okay, as far as sheep is concerned. As far as goats are concerned, we learned in the Siddhijib Abattoir, the veterinarians taught us, that in the case of goats, if their front bottom teeth are larger than the other teeth and slightly split, the teeth should be slightly split, then they are 1 year old and more. If the teeth are not yet split or they are small still, that goat is not permitted for Kurbani. They should be slightly bigger than others in front bottom teeth and slightly split, then they are 1 year old and more. As far as camels are concerned, it should be 5 years, as we know. And I think last time by the Nature and Life Book, we cut two. We did nahar of two camels about 3 years ago. And I witnessed that nahar first time in my life, in fact. And when you pierce the throat, they go down very fast. the blood splashes and they go down. They lose their life very fast, as camels. And there was a case for the SPCA, and alhamdulillah, we defended our Shari'i slaughter and Nahar and so on. And alhamdulillah, it was to our favor, and they left us. They left us alone after that, as far as the SPCA were concerned. There were too many, what I can tell the people is, there were too many people witnessing this camel slaughter, and they were making a lot of noise. Some of them were standing on the roofs and shouting and chanting and reading the takbir. And that excited these camels, and they were going, they were very traumatized. So that's what the SPCA was complaining about. But alhamdulillah, at the end, it was in our favor. But now I see they're not doing camels anymore. I think in South Africa it's a bit of a relief because of the trauma that the camels go through. Our people are not used to it. They can't do the camel slaughter. Okay. As far as the shares are concerned, cattle should be 7 shares. Huh? There should be 7 shares. Or you can use 5 shares for Qurbani and 2 shares for Aqiqah. Or you can use 6 shares for Qurbani and 1 for Aqiqah if you want to. But you can share the same animal to make Qurbani and Aqiqah. Okay. Sheep is 1 share, of course. You can't do more than 1 share per person. One person came to the madrasa once and he told me that, this year I want to slaughter for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I told him, what about your own Qurbani? He said, no, that I did last year. So I say, no. If it's wajib on you this year or any other year, your own must be slaughtered first, your wajib qurbani first, then you want to slaughter for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or your grandparents or whoever, you can do that, but first your wajib qurbani, you must see to that one first. Huh? And then camels also seven shares, just like the cattle, so that's as far as the shares are concerned.
Now, you spoke briefly about the age of the goats. Is there any other way of determining age of the animals?
That you should ask the farmers. They are mahir with this. They are professional with this, and they can tell you. But like I mentioned earlier, that is how you find out the ages of the goats and the sheep, by seeing their teeth. In fact, in the abattoir we learned, the veterinarians tell us, even the bulls, they should have 4 big teeth at the bottom to be more than 2 years old. 4 bigger teeth, larger teeth than other teeth at the bottom set. Then they are 2 years or more. But the better thing to do is to ask the farmer. They will tell you how long they got the cattle there, and their experience has shown that they normally are quite accurate.
Now the question also is with regards to, you know, the sheep. Someone is raising the issue and saying that, look, sometimes farmers are pushing in a 4-month-old sheep with the 1-year-olds. And, you know, they say, no, it's 6 months, but it looks like a 1-year-old. So, and they know that if they say it's under 6 months, people won't buy it because the farmers are now aware of that. So, there is no real way to gauge this.
Yeah,
we do have to take the word of the farmers.
Yeah, the farmer, yeah. But, you know, 4 months, Mufti, 4 months will be quite small. They won't be. They can see they're not ready for Qurbani, definitely. 4 months old sheep.
Okay, now as we move on, we important is to present a sacrifice that is of the highest caliber, and in that regard, there are certain defects that we need to ensure the animals are free of. What are some of that?
All right, as far as the tail is concerned, a while back, 2-3 years ago, in fact, people asked a mufti that came from overseas this masala. And he doesn't know the situation here in South Africa like we know it. Because we're from connected to the abattoirs and so on. So he gave permissibility to use sheep that had no tails. Because the people told him it's very scarce here in South Africa. In fact, there wasn't scarcity of lambs. I know in the abattoirs that we, our Sena abattoirs that we slaughter, in fact, Sadi Deep also, where we used to do in the 1970s and 80s, we used to do thousands of sheep, and most of them had tails. Most of them had tails. So that excuse that cut sheep that don't have tails, that is out. At the moment now, at this present moment, because of the drought and the farmers slaughtering so many sheep and cattle to save them from dying, and of course they can't lose, they send it to markets and have it sold. In this situation at the moment here, If there are some muftis that are saying, our local muftis are saying that sheep without tails or with part tails, portion of tails, then it will be permissible, then it's up to that mufti that will speak. But otherwise, a full tail sheep or some sheep that have two-thirds or more, one-third of it is gone, it's permissible, but if more than one-third is gone of the tail, then you can't use that sheep for kurbani. You did mention also yesterday in your program about the horns. The horn masla is there. There you get the outer horn and the inner horn. That outer horn, it bumps against the gate or whatever, and it breaks. There's still a horn inside there. Now that horn, like you mentioned, is absolutely correct. If that horn breaks from the root, and even Mufti Siddharth in our office, we were speaking about the same thing. He said if the horn breaks from the root, then it's not permissible. Otherwise, that horn is there, then it's fine. It's okay, you can use it for kurbani. Then, as far as the horns are concerned, the ear is the same thing. If it's more than two-thirds of the ear is still on, it's fine for kurbani. I remember once one guy came to the Darul Zakaria and he said he don't want to put the tag on the ear. It's going to cause a defect. It's a small hole that is made through that. It's not really a defect. But he made us tie a wire around the ears of the sheep. And in fact, he never came to fetch the thing. He must have gone somewhere else. 3 days we waited for him. People just shouldn't do this. When you book something by someone, either you don't want to have it, and after 1 or 2 days you say, okay, I cancel the sheep. You don't leave it like that. That is now, it's unethical to do that type of thing.
On the issue of the ears, you know what I noticed when I was pulling out my own sheep this year, and I noticed that a portion of many of the ears are broken because as lambs they put a tag in now. Yeah. How to take the tag out is very difficult, so they just pull off that whole
thing. No, that's very sore.
That, you know, when they're small,
yeah.
So I noticed a few sheep with portions of the ears off. But as you said, you know, it seems to be less than one third, so that's the problem area. If it
you see that tag, it's got that the two portions. The one goes into the other. So if you take a knife and gently slice, you know, in between, you'll get the plastic off, and you'll get that. You couldn't pull the tag off. It's terribly sore. Can you imagine you do that to a human being, how sore that is?
Yes. That is something that those in the industry need to be aware of it.
Absolutely. And even our people, in fact. I think this one here at the bottom with the walk.
Yes.
They should be able to walk to the masbah, to the slaughter area. Otherwise, they're not permitted to use those animals for slaughter, for kurbani, if they can't walk to the slaughter area.
And then, payment of the kurbani animal?
Oh, this is a big story.
It ought to be a non-issue, but anyway, it's supposed to be. Issue.
You know, in our kitabs of fiqh, they talk about mufti ilan nizah. Mufti is not mufti like you, eh?
mufti ilan nizah. Mufti ilan nizah. Problems.
Mufti ilan nizah, it leads to arguments and quarrels. We as Muslims should avoid this type of thing. Right? Number one, if for example, me and you make a deal in anything, not kurbani, anything, and I pay you your money, you must take that money and count it in front of me.
Yes.
Because you go to your car and you come back, you say, hey, 100 zain short, mufti ilan nizah, there it starts, the arguments and quarrels. Right. In these cases of kurbani, I know of our Muslim farmers, they tell me that 2 and 3 years pass, and this farmer goes to the person who bought the kurbani, said, I came from my kurbani money. And the chap tells him, you think I'm going to run away? Can you tell a person that? It's kurbani. You're supposed to be paying for a kurbani. You think I'm going to run away? That's number one. Number two, late Manala Yaqub, rahmatullahi from Zakaria, when we were together, before he passed away, obviously, he told me of an incident of this farmer, white farmer. One of our guys went to him and booked 200 sheep. Gave the farmer the check, he put the stuff in the truck and he went away and sold the kurbanis. That check bounced. And somehow this guy did it, the farmer could never trace him. Now, that farmer don't want to see anybody that looks like us with a beard and a kurta. Not near his farm, near his gate. Imagine. Because of the scallop. It's not right at all. There's another one I'll tell you now, I heard recently. This is the cherry on the top. This Muslim guy, the farmer, Muslim farmer was a friend of his. They were very close. He told him, I want 100 of the best lambs. So because they were friends, the last truck that came in had the best lambs. He booked it for him. So that friend came to him and told him, okay, let's make a price. They made a price of 1800 rands times 100. Right? 1800 rand times 100. Okay. Then the farmer is asking him, what must I do with these 100 lambs? He say, give, send 3 to that Mufti, send 2 to that Malana, send 5 to that Hajisab, whatever. So because this guy got a transport, he took the stuff and he delivered it for him. Tell him, okay, the rest of the lambs, he says, some of it you keep here at the madrasa so much, I mean here by the farm, you have it slaughtered for me and packed for me ready for distribution. You'll do that. He said, of course, for you I'll do anything. And the rest of the lambs he took with him and he sold it himself. So the day of the payment came. So the farmer is telling him, are you coming with the money? He says, of course, I'm coming with the money. He came with the money, and there was 30,000 rand short. So the farmer asked him, what, there's 30,000 rand short. He said, yeah, that's my commission. Yeah, reality. So he told him, no man, we made a price of 1800 rand. How can you tell me this is your commission? And tell today that 30,000 rand wasn't paid to this farmer. Tell me if those people's qurbanis are done. Tell me if this guy can eat that 30,000 rand. That he didn't make a deal. He made a deal of 1800 rand each, supposed to pay times 100, and end of the story. He ate up 30,000 rands of qurbani money. That's why we got this section here on payment of animals. It is so sad that, you know, in the old days, they used to trust Abraham, you know?
Yeah.
They used to trust Abraham, and today they run away from Abraham. Allah give us tawfiq.
Let's leave it to that.